the rest of the story. It was Nathaniel's and Sophia's wedding day, and from the beginning of their courtship 3 years previous until this very moment, practically nothing had gone right. In the first place, neither had been a likely candidate for marriage. Nathaniel had been a total recluse. Shut up in the grim old house on Herbert Street with his mother and sisters, by day he had kept himself locked in an attic bedroom where he brooded over books that his sisters brought him from the town library, and then each night when the streets were desolate, he would emerge from his living tomb for a long solitary walk, and thus did Nathaniel remain mostly a mystery to his neighbors. Even though only 5 blocks away on Charter Street, there lived another lonely, secluded soul named Sophia Peabody. Plagued by a seemingly endless succession of headaches, Sophia also languished interminably in her room. An invalid, they called her. A possessive and calculating mother constantly applauded her cheerful suffering while reminding her daughter that she would never be well enough to enjoy life. But what did that matter, her mother would say, when the frail, hapless girl would be so richly compensated in heaven? Well, it was the sisters of Nathaniel and Sophia who first became acquainted and who, if inadvertently, arranged the initial meeting of the recluse and the invalid, and the two were at once attracted to one another. As the weeks passed, they managed to see each other more and more frequently, and as the growing infatuation became obvious, family resistance mounted. Especially disapproving were Sophia's older sister and, of course, her domineering mother. Years passed. Nathaniel and Sophia, now well into their 30s, had become secretly engaged. Sophia's mother continued to warn against marriage for one of such fragile health, and when Sophia at last announced her intention to marry, Mrs. Peabody was predictably distressed. But plans proceeded nonetheless, and when Sophia arose on the morning of July 9, her wedding day, a heavy mist filled the air. The gloom closed in, and it began to rain. Sophia must return to her bed, her mother said, and wait for the doctor to arrive. The wedding had to be postponed again due to Sophia's declining health. Perhaps it ought to be postponed a second time. But if Sophia were going to die, she knew it must be in the arms of the man that she loved. And so she put on her wedding dress, and she descended the stairway and walked to the back parlor of the Peabody home when a minister in the company of family and close friends pronounced bride and groom, man and wife. And at the moment that pronouncement was made, the clouds rolled away, shattering the dismal gray, bathing the tiny room in warm summer sun, and light and love came shining through. And that's how the recluse and the invalid came to be no more. From smothering seclusion in Salem, Massachusetts, the newlyweds fled to a home of their own in Concord, truly happy for the first time in their lives. Nathaniel became cheerful. The former recluse became cheerful and outgoing. Sophia got well and stayed well. The company had 3 fine, healthy children. And Nathaniel's literary gift burst into bloom. All of your life you have admired his masterworks. Mosses from an Old Manse. Remember the Marble Faun? Of course you know the House of the Seven Gables. You saw the movies that were made of his Scarlet Letter. But now I hope you'll never forget the real romance that made all of that possible. The life-giving love of Sophia and Nathaniel Hawthorne. Now that you know the rest of the story.